7 of the Cricket Talks podcast. I'm here, Mohammed Mo Blogs, whatever you want to call me, and I'm joined by Ashton once again from Cricket for Us. Bro, how are you doing?
I'm good as I can be, rooting against Lahore. Let me rephrase that, rooting against the team that's chasing in this PSL. 11 matches in a row, can't believe it. Oh man, let's
get that out of the way, because obviously crazy. we know how the PSL has been structured. Obviously, there isn't a crazy amount of grounds in Buxton Festival. It's not as if England, where you have Edgbaston, Rose Bowl, Oval, all these sort of grounds that you can pick and choose from. You have three, four stadiums in general, and then you had the COVID restrictions, which obviously limited it to Lahore, Karachi, and one half of the whole tournament is being played in Karachi. I'm still a bit stuck. I'm assuming it's something to do with how the pitch sort of goes along the game, because in terms of pitch conditions, it's been very, very good. It's sort of like in this particular game, if we'll get onto Mohammed Amir's over, but if it did turn the other way, we would have seen probably the first game that's been defended.
100%. One thing I want to add to what you said, the pitches are good. They have become a lot flatter over the course of the last 4 days. But prior to that, we saw 150, 160 scores, and now we're getting quite regularly, unless you're an Islamabad supporter right here from yesterday. But barring that, every other time, it's been quite consistent, hasn't it? That yeah. You get 180, 190, even today. The best part about the entire match was the death bowling by Lahore and the opening bowling by Karachi Kings. That's the way I see it, and that's where the match was sealed. I said it on another video that, dude, it's going to decide everything. The power play and the death are going to decide the entire match. Exactly what happened. So, yeah.
100%. Yeah. It's been a thriller. We've seen Peshawar chase a 190-plus score twice now. The first one, which was, I think it might have been against Quetta, the one before that. I kind of predicted that beforehand. I didn't think the team had the strength to defend in the first place, but Peshawar has definitely done a great job. We've seen them over the tournament without going onto them too much. We've definitely seen them, as I mentioned in a preview episode for Peshawar, they're almost that team that never exactly obviously takes a title. They've taken the title once and in the final, what, three times? But they're always a standing force in the league. They'll refuse to finish at the bottom, no matter how their team looks on paper. They haven't even played Ravi Bapara yet, who is one of the most underrated T20 all-rounders available at the moment. We've seen him what he does for Essex when he took them to the Vitality Blast win. We've seen him what he can do in the T10. So an amazing player from him, and he hasn't even played a game yet. So yeah, we'll talk about that, but let's get into the game. Obviously, Karachi lost the toss. Lahore chose to bowl first. How much of an impact do you think that eventually made from the start?
100%. Right. Look at the statistics. 10 out of 10. 100% record of the team chasing winning. And I said it. It was like 50% of the game is with Lahore as soon as they won the toss. They won the toss, they chose to field. I was like, all right, so Karachi's going to lose, right? Karachi's going to lose, or, you know, a miracle happens and they win. So definitely, the toss is something to take into consideration. But putting that aside, it was a really good match. Yes, that's 100%. Important. The toss is important. But both sides put up a huge battle. Like, this is where, like I said it to someone else, I was like, Battle of the Roses in England, Lancashire, Yorkshire. This is the PSL Derby, as you call it. And I'm coining it as well. Lahore versus Karachi. Definitely, man. This was an epic match. Going down till the wire, almost. But still, what a match. I can't even fathom how Mohammed Amir is feeling. But this was great. It started off so... the crowd. Oh, man, the crowd just made it feel so alive. I know we'll get to it, but I'm sorry. I'm just really excited about the way the match kind of transpired.
Yeah, this is, as I said before, people joining in, if you want to share your comments, feel free to. It's not as if I've got thousands of subscribers, so I'll get to every single one of you guys. So the 100 report, the guys over there, big ups for you guys joining. I'm going to answer your comment in just a second. But this is the derby of the PSL now. We used to think it was Peshawar Quetta, I think, because of how strong those teams were and how dominant forces they were. But we've seen Quetta over the last season and a half now. They've been very, very poor. And I think that kind of competition has fallen slightly, with Peshawar obviously remaining that dominant force. But Lahore Karachi, they've always had a city rivalry. I want to actually say, big ups to the Stani Army, which are sort of the England representatives of PCB. They made it clear that it does get into a bit more than a rivalry. It becomes insults and stuff like that. So as long as you can refrain from that, it'll be okay. But this is the biggest game of the PSL. We've seen it several times. They've gone to the Super Over. So many times it's gone to the wire, and then they faced each other last season in the final, where it ended up being a pretty comfortable win for Karachi, as Lahore really didn't read the pitch that well in Lahore, ironically. But yeah, the 100 Reports comment was, Shaheen was amazing and true, but Pahar is massively under it. Yeah, Shaheen, we'll get onto it properly, but Shaheen was absolutely amazing. His death bowling at the end, where I think last four overs or last six overs, he gave 24 runs away. You could say that was arguably one of the most contributing factors to Karachi losing their game, is the failure to do that. But yeah, and Bapara, yeah, I'm not sure why Bapara hasn't been played. It's going to be interesting. Same with Ahmad Butt, two very, very, very good players. Ahmad Butt does have the ability to bat a bit as well. So when they do come in, Peshawar will be there. I think Peshawar as a whole, again, without not getting into too much detail, they're a side where going into the tournament, I wasn't too afraid of. But looking at it now, they've sort of built strength to strength, and I've got a feeling they could finish top three, top four minimum, with Peshawar and with Quetta and Islamabad, in my opinion, finishing in the bottom two. But Peshawar have gone strength to strength. We'll go through the squads right now, though. Performances in the game. We'll start with, obviously, Shajil and Babar Azam went out to bat. A bit of a slow start. We saw the two dropped catches, Sahil Khan and Fakhar Zaman at first slip, but it was a Sahil Akhtar drop, which played a massive factor to potentially how the whole Karachi innings played out. How important do you think that was?
Very important. We saw two catches go down within two Shaheen overs, both openers, right? Shajil Khan smashed it to Sahil Akhtar, who dropped a lollipop, according to Dominic Clark, right? He dropped a lollipop. Right, and no one can be mad at him. He's the captain, right? He's making the mistake. That was so instrumental to their entire setup, because if Babar got out, which he eventually did, but if Babar got out, then Shajil had to kind of steady the ship and go all hell's blazing, and that's what he did. And that's why that was so crucial. We saw the drop catch by Fakhar Zaman at fly slip. It was difficult, but I've seen harder catches. And I've seen Fakhar Zaman take harder catches.
Yeah.
So in that case, I would call it a drop, but it was very, very difficult. And then Shaheen Afridi doing Shaheen things, right? Absolutely amazing. The way that ball just pitched on. Oh, man. Okay, so let me just quickly describe it for you. You've seen it.
Wait, can I ask quickly before you get into it? Do you think that's one of the wickets of the PSL so far?
I think it's very close. I think it's in the top three, with another one happening in this match as well.
Okay, then go on, carry on.
Yeah, so it pitched about middle and off, and then just moved in, smashing the stumps. Babar Azam had no clue. He looked like a guy who just came out to bat from like the streets. Not Babar Azam, the best Pakistani batsman around, right? It was amazing, and the way everything just lit up. And I love the camaraderie between Shaheen and Babar. That was great. He's like, put his arm around him. He's like, yeah, I got you. And Babar's like, next time I'm going to smash you for 100. Right? That's exactly the face he had. It was outstanding. That's what I'm saying. The way this PSL is working right now, yes, it seems one-sided, but it's so, so entertaining, man. Honestly.
100%. Wow. And the way they've not let the rivalry get to them almost. We've seen in other tournaments where it can get very, very heated. We've seen in this game a couple of players from the Men in Blue getting a bit heated during the game, but it's good to see that Shaheen's still trying to keep it as friendly as possible, because at the end of the day, this tournament will finish. It's happening 1 month a year, and they're going all back into tops and greens, so it's important that they keep that. But Shajil Khan, you said, in a massive drop catch, it was probably one of the easiest catches in the easiest drop catch there's been in the PSL so far. Maybe there with Aga Salman's one in the last game as well. But Lahore needs to work on their fielding. But Babar Azam, like I said, amazing catch. Joe Clark getting out early as well. He got out, run out to Haris Ralph. It was a good bit of fielding from Haris Ralph. I think what I'll say around the whole innings before we get into Joe Clark is it's been good to see that they haven't, as apart from maybe Shajil and potentially Muhammad Nabi, it's been good to see that the performances have been spread out to a degree. We've seen Babar Azam scored, 90-odd in the last match? We saw Colin Ingram and Joe Clark pitching in the first one. I think as long as they can pick it up back again, in that sense, Karachi definitely have the upper hand in the tournament, in the fact that their performances are very laid out and spread out across the whole team, which is a good thing from that sense. But Joe Clark getting run out to an excellent piece of fielding from Harris Ralph, slinged arm straight into the wicket, something I didn't see coming anyway. What did you make of his wicket?
Bad running is what I make of it. That wasn't, like, it was Joe Clark's call, right?
Yeah.
He should have known if he was going to get there or not. And he was out by a foot. Was out by a good foot. He just wasn't quick enough. And it's surprising, no offense to Shajil Khan, but if you're batting with Shajil Khan and you're the one getting run out, that's the shocker, right? And Shajil Khan isn't that quick. Definitely, he isn't that quick. So that's why it's a bit... It's not the greatest thing to see. We saw yesterday, 54 of 26 or 27 balls, right? Joe Clark can change things. And unfortunately, he got run out. Brilliant throw by Harris Rowe, right? This guy, like, we're going to talk about his bowling. But for me, Harris Rowe is the guy who is not the best bowler around. But at least with his throwing arm, he's very good. And he's had a couple of direct hits, a couple of run outs as well now. So he's done a pretty decent job. But it was Joe Clark's fault. He probably went by probability, right? Pakistani guy fielding, right? What do you expect? The direct hit, right? That, no.
Well, the underdog in the situation.
Exactly. And then Harris Rowe pulls it off and Clark is like, oh man, I shouldn't go by past performances. I'm in Pakistan. Pakistan, one day they're up, next day they're down. And the same thing with Lahore Qalandars. And oh man, that was a great throw though. Great throw. A huge wicket, Joe Clark. And we're waiting for the next one. Can I go on the next one? Because that was an absolute peach.
By Ahmed Danial. Go on it. Go for it.
Ahmed Danial, right. This is his third or fourth PSL match. Yeah. Bowls a Yorker right on his foot. Colin Ingram has no clue, right? Bowled him straight through the gap. And he was like, what just happened here? That was a 143, 144 kilometer per hour delivery. Brilliant. I forgot to mention, Shaheen Afridi's delivery was almost 149. So, the way that team is gelling, especially with the pace bowling, is fantastic. And that literally broke the back of Karachi Kings. And then we had the inclusion of Mohammad Nabi coming out. But until then, they were three down for not too many runs.
100%. We'll get on to... I want to say two things before we go into the next performance, which is you said the gelling of the team. This is something I said on Twitter somewhere to someone's tweet, which was... the whole chemistry aspect, I think I mentioned it last game as well, between the squads. We've looked at successful T20 franchises, and I use sort of the IPL as a benchmark, given that it's been around the longest. We know the most successful side in the IPL is Mumbai Indians, and something they've been able to do, which has led to the success, whether you agree with it or not, is the ability to maintain a core squad, which is mixed between maybe one or two foreign players, a few representatives in the international side for that country, and then a few emerging players. And in Mumbai's case, we're looking at Trent Bolt, Kieran Pollard, Ishan Kishan, who's yet to play for India but just got announced in the squad, so I'm happy to hear about that. And then you got that Rohit Sharma, Bumrah, Hardik Pandya, Kunal Pandya sort of combination. And that core squad, that's not an 11, and then they can work their array around that with, you know, that's remaining picks that they have left. I think Lahore potentially is in that same boat. I think Peshawar is potentially in that same boat. How important do you think is the chemistry that they've been able to build up? Because we've got now Zaman, Hafiz. I don't know how many years Hafiz has left in him, but you've obviously got Aga Salman replacing him after that, who has put up a few decent performances in his time despite those dropped catches. You've got Shaheen Afridi at 20 years old, who's going to be leading from the front for several years to come. You've got Aga Salman, now Ahmed Danial, potentially how it goes, Harris Ralph, and then you've got David Visa and Ben Duncan, that international side. Do you think that's your core squad, and how important do you think that's going to be for the both this season and the long-term future of Lahore Qalandars?
I agree with you about the gelling. I think Mumbai Indians, the perfect example, some of the players you named, definitely, that's the reason why they win. Rohit Sharma, Bumrah, Pandyas, Pollard, Surya Kumar Yadav, Ishan Kishan. You know, you can name their side and it's like, not 10 of the 11, you know what that's going to be, right? Yeah. That's the thing with Mumbai Indians. And it's becoming something similar with Lahore Qalandars. I don't see them being that right now, but in a couple of years, they can be for sure. As you said, Fakhar Zaman at the top. You have Suhail Akhtar, a guy who has not played for Pakistan, but he's a captain who drops catches, doesn't bat brilliantly, but then leads them very well, right? Does leads them pretty well. Honestly, the bowling changes, some of the fielding placements. He does have a cricket mind, I must say. So you've got those guys. You've got Hafiz. You've got Dunk. You've got Shaheen. And then you potentially have someone like Harris Rowe, or you could say David Visa for sure. David Visa, I know we're going to get to it, but wow. Dude was lucky, but he was good today. Yeah, I agree with you, though. The gelling is so, so important. And they definitely are looking like a side that could move towards, you know, some sort of platform where they are so gelled in that their main squad usually stays the same. David Visa doesn't have many years. Mohammed Hafeez doesn't. Samit Patel doesn't. Ben Dunk doesn't. So four players right there who will play for the next few years, but then they're probably going to go away. But they need replacements. You mentioned Aga Salman as a replacement for Hafeez. Very good. But then they need for the other three as well, the internationals, right? And that's why they play Zeeshan Ashraf, who did not get a chance to bat, which is absolute madness. The guy's an opener, batting at what, number eight? But it's crazy, but it works, right? The way they played today, it was very good. And this match, as you said at the start, could have gone either way. And Lorca Lenders are looking like a very, very potent side this year.
100%. We've got another question from the guys at the 100 Report. Should Visa stick to batting, to just batting? Now, I got this comment before from Ismail on Twitter, so shout out to him as well. He was actually saying, we're going to answer their question first. I think Visa does still have that bowling ability, 100%. I think he's it's a weird comparison to make, but almost sort of like the importance of Pat Brown. It's a weird one, but he rarely uses pace on. I don't think he's at the age where he can compete with Shaheen at 140 plus clicks. He sticks it at under 140, but he has that experience that he's had for several years at Sussex and for South Africa, where he can just bowl slower balls and bowl cutters, and he generally has been very, very good for Lahore Lenders. He's taken some crucial wickets in the past. While he's still with us, I'd hope to see him keep bowling. I think he still has that factor where he can bowl for us and be effective at that. And then with Ismail's question, which was, should David Visa get an IPL gig off the back of this? I think he said he'd be a better replacement for someone like Ben Cutting. I want to get your answer on both of those.
I'll do the first one, the second one first. He wouldn't be a good replacement for Ben Cutting. I personally don't think so. I think Ben Cutting is a lot more consistent than David Visa throughout all platforms and all franchises as of this moment. If that is to change, then David Visa could be. But I think David Visa played for RCB and some other sides previously, and he didn't have a great... He had one or two great knocks, but with the bat, not just with the ball. That's the thing. And your point about should he stick to batting, I would say he needs to bowl, but he doesn't need to bowl four overs. Yeah. He needs to bowl two, maybe three. It's like Samit Patel. Samit Patel doesn't bowl four overs. He bowls two or three. I don't see both of those bowling the full quota, because then they have that chance. Best example, Karan Pollard for Mumbai Indians. And I'm sorry for the IPL examples.
No, but it's a good example,
Karan Pollard... Dude is bowling just one over and it's the death over. Like, that's what he's done a couple of times when he was captain last season. And he's like, I'm just going to bowl the 19th or 20th over because Hardik can't bowl. I don't want to do this. I'll bowl. And he just bowls an over and wins them the match. Okay? So that's the type of player I see David Visa, that he's predominantly a batsman, but he can bowl two, maximum three overs in a game. Don't see him bowling all the time, but... another thing I just want to bring up, and I know we'll get to it, but Imad Wasim not bowling today was a shocker. I know we'll get to it, but that's something that just shocked me. Got a golden duck and then, you know, doesn't even bring himself to bowl, which is shocking.
Yeah, we'll definitely talk about that. I thought it was an injury, but it turns out it was a self-made decision. But with Visa, you're right, 100%. Two overs when it's needed. He can be that sort of player where if on the day it goes wrong for Shaheen, Ahmed Danial, Harris Ralph, and... our spinner, Mohammed Hafeez and Samit Patel, then he can sort of fill in and just be that short-term replacement that he's done. He's done it in the past. I feel like we're still yet to see the best value from him and Samit Patel. We're seeing Samit Patel, this is the first time he's bowled in the four games or three or four games that we've played. I think we're going to see the best of them in Lahore, where it's going to be a lot more spin-friendly, Manjuri. And I think that's where Samit Patel got his 4 for 5 against Quetta Gladiators as well. So I think we're yet to see the best of value. I think right now, Harris Ralph, Shaheen Afridi Ahmed Danial, we're just going to see tons of wickets, tons of peaches, like we've seen, like you've mentioned, from them. So yeah, just that's kind of our thoughts on it. Colin Ingram obviously got that amazing ball from Danial. Yeah, that brings me on to that very quick question. How important do you think the Lahore development program has been for the success of Lahore? And also, if there is one, because I put this out on Twitter, I don't think I really got many responses, which was, how many other franchise squads have a program like this? I think maybe Rajasthan Royals do, but how many other franchise teams in the IPL, CPL, Big Bash have programs like these that they can bring out players? Because we've seen, actually, another example might be the Adelaide Strikers with John Wells, who actually doesn't play first-class cricket and hasn't for a while. I watched this story on Cricket Mentoring, and it turns out he only plays for the Adelaide Strikers and goes right back to first-grade cricket, which is club cricket, the highest level of club cricket. So how important do you think that is for Lahore Qalandars making use of it? Because we've seen some amazing talent come through with it.
Yeah, I agree with you. Amazing talent has come through. And the biggest thing is, I know other franchises have something like this, but nothing of the scale that Lahore Qalandars have. That's the big thing. The scale that Lahore Qalandars brings is everyone, right? Everyone goes to these, these tryouts, and then see what happens. Shaheen Afridi, Haris Rauf, Ahmed Danial, Dilber Hussain, Salman Mirza, and you realize they're all bowlers, right? They're all bowlers, okay? And they're all fast bowlers. So obviously that they've churned out quite a few people, and they just need to be consistent. I must say something. The only consistent bowler for me is Shaheen Afridi out of all five of those, though. Shaheen Afridi is the one consistent one. The others are sporadic. They're not as consistent as of this moment, but that probably comes with time and experience. So let's see how that goes. But definitely, it's been crucial to Lahore's development. There are talks about Aqib Javed not being the best mentor for them, but what he has been as a coach, as a bowling coach, part of his job, he's been very crucial to these bowlers. When they come in, he grooms them and gets them in a place in the PSL. And at least two of them have now debuted for Pakistan.
100%.
Two out of the four. Yeah. So, yeah, definitely very important. But I can't answer which teams actually have this program. I know they do, but I only know in the PSL, Lahore Qalandars have the biggest, because I know people who've tried out. But yeah, let's not go into that.
That's fine then. We've obviously seen the next few wickets, which was Mohammad Nabi and Dan Christian. Well, the partnership that flourished from them, which again got me worried during the game, because it was almost that sort of moment where I talked about in the last episode as well, where Lahore gets amazing starts and tends to gas out just a little, which refrains us from our potential. But thankfully, we managed to sort that out in the death. We saw Mohammad Nabi, who is a massive problem, still one of the best all-rounders in the league, maybe in the world. We'll see how it goes. You know, he plays for Sunrisers Hyderabad and is a star for them as well. He plays for literally almost every franchise that he can get his hands on. Him, Dan Christensen, put up a big partnership. He made 57, Dan Christian made 27. What did you make of their partnership for their innings?
First class, brilliant partnership, dude. The way Mohammad Nabi was smashing the ball, it was like watching, and I use this not loosely, I use it because of the way he was smashing it. It was like Inzamam al-Haq type hitting. The way it reminded me of when he hit that pull shot for six or something. Right? He hit some beautiful shots and it looked very good as well. Dan Christian doing Dan Christian things. He's going to come in, score 20, 30 runs. Right? That partnership, I don't know how many runs they made together, but that was a very, very crucial partnership. And we saw as soon as one of them got out, that just completely halted their momentum. So they were going at around 10 and over for the entirety of that game up till that point. And then things started to go wrong. That partnership was great. Mohammad Nabi, as you said, he played for Melbourne Renegades. He plays for Sunrisers Hyderabad. He is the number one T20 international all-rounder right now, if I'm not wrong. So he is that good. And the utilization of him as a batsman has been great. He's batting at number five, he's batting at number five, which is great. Okay, that gives him a lot more chance to bat. And it's good that Imad Wasim didn't come to bat at five as I would have liked, because we know what he got today. So that partnership was so important to them. And it was good bowling from the Lahore end, because Lahore, as you said, they halted, like they completely restricted them in the last 5 to 6 overs. Basically, all the part that I didn't watch properly, right? They actually halted it completely. And I was like, oh my goodness, they're not going to get 200. They're not going to get 190, right? And then they reached 186, which was a great job by the tail. But yeah, these guys definitely did deserve the accolades. Everyone else kind of disappointed after that point, though.
Yeah, Imad the same first ball duck from Sanat Patel. Well, Gus Muksu would definitely get a bit fiery during that. Did you think that was either fiery or that was sort of just the spirit of the game?
It's spirit of the game. That's all I'm going to say.
And then we saw, obviously, Mohammad Ilyas, Mohammad Amir getting out. People were mentioning that Mohammad Amir's wicket, the way Shaheen only really reacted to Mohammad Amir's wicket, which was like, obviously, after, I think he might have gone dropped. Or actually, I don't think he got dropped, but it was sort of, he was the only wicket that he loudly reacted to. And then you could see that people were saying that it sort of repaid that back when Lahore ended up batting. And you can see how fiery Mohammad Amir got, waving his hands around and all that kind of stuff. Who do you think then from the Lahore bowling attack, we've obviously got who with six bowlers that bowled. Shaheen Afridi obviously coming across as the best bowler, clearly, with two overs at the start, two overs at the end. Who else would you have said impressed you the most from there?
For me, however much I am, I think Haris Rauf is hot and cold. I think he did an okay job. Surprisingly, the stats don't show this, but I think Ahmed Daniel bowled really well, right? He changed up his pace very well, did get smashed, but that's what happens. He's a young bowler. It's his fourth game. So I was very impressed with Ahmed Daniel a lot more than Haris Rauf. So I'd actually go Daniel's way. But Haris Rauf doing good things today, which is something you don't say every day. But he did a very decent job for Lahore Qalandars, especially when you have someone bowling brilliantly from the other end. That just hypes you up. I heard an interview of Wasim Akram and Waqar Yunus. Both of them separately said, when the other one was doing well, I wanted to do well. So that kind of bowling partnership seems to have worked for Lahore Qalandars.
100%. And then we've got a question or a statement from Zane. He didn't expect Lahore to win it. Honestly, it was tight. Statistically speaking, when the toss happened, Lahore should have taken it home. Karachi definitely put them on the back foot a few times during the game. But yeah, it came through, man, for Lahore Qalandars, which was a needed result for us. Obviously, we'll see how it plays out for the rest of the series when they play them again. But then we'll go on to Lahore's batting. Karachi put up the 186 for 9. Still a very good score considering the sort of key wickets in Colin Ingram, Joe Clark, Imad Daseem. And we'll talk about the bowlers actually as well. Imad Daseem mentioned after the game that he didn't actually bowl himself. I assume it was some sort of weird injury where he had the ability to field but just didn't refuse to bowl. But it turns out he said himself that he didn't bowl himself because he didn't think the conditions suited him right and he think the bowlers around him were better. Did you think he should have bowled at the end of it?
Yeah, and I'll tell you why, right? Statistically speaking, if the ball is moving, turning away from the batsman, right, it makes sense to bowl that bowler. So he was looking at it, oh, Dunk is batting, Fakhr Zaman are batting, both of them are left-handed batsmen, I shouldn't bowl. The way I saw it was, Fakhr Zaman's statistics or average against spinners is 16.8 or something. I think we both saw it on Twitter, right? And against pace is like 39, right? You bowl as many spinners as you possibly can. Imad Daseem should have given himself at least one over. Yes, you're spinning into the batsman, but at least give yourself a chance, man. No, don't just give up. And the way he darts the ball, he does drift it a little bit. So definitely, I'm of the belief that he should have bowled, even if it was one over, a couple of overs. Yes, we got... who opened the bowler with Mohammad Amir? Was it... Ilyas? Did Ilyas bowl?
I think Ilyas took the first, second over as well.
Right. So Ilyas, how many overs did he bowl? I think he bowled like
two. He bowled two for 25.
Yeah. So what's the point? Right. Give yourself a chance. You've been opening the bowling for Pakistan and Karachi Kings for so long, right? You've had a decent bowling partnership with Mohammad Amir. Why not risk it? Yes, it's Fakhr Zaman. Yes, Mohammad Hafeez plays spin really well. It just didn't make sense to me. And I understand his reasoning. I'd say he should have given himself at least an over just to see what happened. Because what did Ilyas get? He's got smashed for like 25 runs in his two overs. Yes, it's his first game for Karachi. Yes, he was put under the pump because Mohammad Amir was bowling really, really well. But yeah, this was not the best debut for Ilyas. And Imad definitely should have given himself a chance rather 100%. Than bowling. Nabi, because Nabi wasn't getting extravagant turn either. That's the thing. If he was getting a lot of turn, then you could say, oh yeah, because he was turning away from the left-handers, that made sense. But he was darting the ball in too, so they're doing exactly the same thing. Nabi is coming around the wicket, but Imad Wasim would have been over. Like, it just doesn't make sense, if you know
yeah,
what I mean.
Yeah, Nabi's never really been known, from what I've seen of him play, to be someone who spins the balls, spin the ball miles, like maybe Mohammad Nawaz or Samit Patel has done in their career. He's definitely someone who puts a cap on the bowling, a little bit like Mohammad Hafeez does to left-handers. He doesn't spin it a mile, but he has the ability to bowl the slider, the one that goes straighter, and get his wickets that way, and just bowl tight lines and disciplined lines, which is something Mohammad Nabi excels in. But we saw the opening partnership, which was practically zero. Fakhar Zaman and Sahil Akhtar came into open. Sahil Akhtar, I was so disappointed when I saw him get run out, because that run out was almost as if he had zero energy. And then combined that with the dropped catch that he had, and we had some very, very angry Lahore fans at the beginning of their batting innings. Did you actually think after that, and both Mohammad Amir's wicket, which was, how close actually do you think Mohammad Amir's wicket was to Shaheen's, before I get onto that?
And that was the second wicket that I said is probably the wicket of the match for me. Wicket of the season so far. It's in the top three. Both of them are top three. It's hard to choose. There's a Yorker somewhere in the back of my mind that I can't remember. I think it was Shaheen as well. It wasn't the Wahab Riaz one.
It might have been Ahmed Danyaz today as well.
No, that doesn't get there. I don't think that goes. I'm really sorry. It's very good, but it's not in the top three.
Fair enough.
But yeah, these two were... This was almost identical, wasn't it? But the difference was Babar Azam was trying to defend it, and Denley was trying to, you know, attack. And there was a pretty big bat and pad gap. But that fire under Mohammad Amir... They were 0 for 2 or 1 for 2?
Yeah, 0 for 2.
He bowled a double wicket maiden in the first over, and they lost the match. What is it? This is like Mohammad Amir from 2009, 2010, when he bowled the last over, took 3 wickets, 2 runouts. Like, that was a 5-wicket maiden against Australia. And that's something that's happened here. Again, he bowled so well in this opening spell. The first 2 overs, he went for, was it 1 or 2 runs? Something like that. And then comes back and, it was crucial.
Did you think, actually, after that, we were obviously 0 for 2, Fakhar Zaman was sort of like Ben Dunk later on in the innings, where he was still finding his way onto the bat until he hit that 6, which somehow got him off the mark, that clean 6 that pretty much went off the roof, which is a weird way to get off the mark. But did you ever think at that point, quickly before we go through the rest of the players, that you genuinely thought that Karachi potentially has it in the bag? Because it's 0 for 2, Mohammad Amir is probably the most enraged he's ever been in the tournament, waving his arms and still taking a wicket the next ball, despite that he's an egotistic character, and still taking a wicket. I think it was. Given the situation, the way he did that, and he still took the ability to take a wicket, it wasn't even as if Joe Denley was saying anything to Mohammad Amir. He was just enraged for it. Did you think ever that Karachi had the ability to win the match, or how? What was the chances, would you say?
I thought the chances were huge. I don't agree with your ego comment, though, but I get where you're coming from, and I understand it. So what I'm saying is, at that point, they were 0 for 2 in one over. Who would have thought they would lose by 6 wickets? That's the big thing. You couldn't imagine it. It's Fakhar Zaman. I predicted at the start of the match that Shargeel will get 100, or at least get above a 50, right? And Fakhar Zaman will get a duck. He got 83. Of 54. He played an absolutely brilliant knock. Like, I can't even describe it in words. He batted really well. Yes, chances, luck, whatever you want to call it. He batted really well. And at that time, I was like, it's Fakhar, man. He's going to get 5 off 3 balls. He's going to get out. He's going to go. There's no point. But the way he kept in there, and that wicket of Hafeez, I know we're going to get to it very, very quickly, but that wicket of Hafeez was so well timed. They were 3 for 30-something, right? They were 3 for 33 or something like that. Well, Mohammad Okas bowls to Hafeez, gets caught Babar Azam at like point or something, right?
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, so Karachi is winning, right? Okay, this is interesting. And I thought Karachi was going to win. I was sure as anything till the 15th over that Karachi was going to win.
100%. Mohammad Hafeez is the most informed, one of the most informed T20 batsmen in the world. averaged 90 odd last year, and you would think after that, then maybe it's down in the gutters. But we've seen Ben Dunk, when he's been put in situations like these, he came out 99 not out last season, one of the games where he was in a similar situation, and Zaman 83 or 54. That huge partnership, which ended up getting out Zaman eventually to a Skya from Dan Christian. Some great bowling from Dan Christian, actually. We'll get onto that as well. But some really, really good bowling. Someone I didn't think would shine as much. I know how experienced he is with all the franchise cricket he's ever played. But I generally didn't think the whole season, actually, I think his bowling has actually been very, very good. His Yorkers outside off stump where and the straight ones outside off stumps where he's... The batsman literally cannot play a shot when he goes across them and he can't play a shot. So that was a massive partnership that he broke between Ben Dunk and Fakhar Zaman, where they put up 83 and 57. But then David Visa came in and it was all, the scales were tipping one way or the other, every other over. David Visa, I want to get onto this quickly because I want to talk about a couple of the players going back into Pakistan cricket, but David Visa, a lot of Yorkers from Mohammad Amir, some great death bowling from Mohammad Amir, just as it was looking really, really badly for Lahore Qalandars once again, despite the massive partnership, it was looking as if Karachi could take it home. David Visa hit Yorkers behind him. He got short balls where he gloved them above the keeper with his height, and then that big six that took him over and then finishing off the job. What did you make of that sort of period of cricket?
They needed 30 off the last two overs, and I said it on a live stream for on Quality Short. I said it. I was like, if they need 15 and over, it's very difficult for Karachi to lose. I was wrong, dude. This was David Visa. Lucky, yes, but you need to hit the ball. You need to hit it as hard as you possibly can. Luck, it always plays a part, but the way he kind of challenge that, because Amir didn't go for many runs in his first three overs. Right? Yeah. Bowling well, he missed the mark by this much. Okay, apart from that six, otherwise, I think everything else, if he bowled, as you said at the beginning, if he bowled at the stumps, probably out, right? LBW bowled something like that, but because it was wide outside off, which is exactly what you're told nowadays, death bowling, wide outside off, Yorkers, that's what you need to do. And it just kept going through the keeper. And who's the keeper? Joe Clark. Who have I been saying they shouldn't have as keeper? Joe Clark, because he's not a genuine keeper. He hasn't kept wickets since the under-19 times that he used to play. Since then, he hasn't been a wicketkeeper. He's been more a batsman who does part-time keeping. He's not a main keeper. And I know it's not entirely his fault, so I can't really blame him. All I can blame is the fact that David Visa was lucky and Mohammad Amir just missed the mark just by a little bit. And that led him to get what, like 20 runs off that one over.
I was so happy the way it, especially with it sort of being Visa the first to finish off. 300, looking at the scorecard now, 344 was his strike rate when he finished that. 3 sixes, 3 fours, 31 off 9 runs, which is a Nabi-esque innings. But yeah, a very, very sick innings to take us over the line. I want to quickly add then, you said Joe Clark shouldn't have been keeping. Their second string keeper, from what I can look at the side right now and say, is probably going to be Chadwick Walton. But at the same time, Chadwick Walton is, in my eyes, has been a poor performer with the bat for Karachi Kings. And how do you think Karachi should potentially work around that?
if we go back to last year, they should play Mohammad Rizwan. But in all honesty, I can't tell. That's the thing. They've made that mistake that I know. I can't remember who it was.
They let go of Ben Dunk as well. So that's the keeping fortune has been so bad for Karachi Kings.
Yeah, for them, 100%. What was it? I think it was Delhi Capitals, right? They had Rishabh Pant who got injured, and then they only had Alex Carey who wasn't performing with the bat, and he was the keeper for a few matches, and they just it didn't gel. It didn't gel as well as it could have, right? And they had to drop some other players to kind of fit Alex Carey in. The same issue is here. Joe Clark is a very good batsman. Chadwick Walton is a better keeper than Joe Clark, but he's not as good as a batsman. They have to... I know what they've gone with. They've gone with, okay, he gives us the batting, right? That's why we'll go with him.
And the keeping isn't necessarily as important. You don't need a first-class keeper as long as he can provide a 50-odd not out at number three. So, yeah, you're very, very right.
What do you get? Four of six?
Four in a row?
Yeah.
But it is. Obviously then Muhammad Amir, probably some of the worst fortune he's ever had, but some great bowling from him. Dan Christian, once again, yeah, gone.
I was just gonna say, worst fortune since 2016. Let's just put it that way.
Dan Christensen, excellent bowling from him, even though it looks like on paper he's kind of expensive, which is it's a sick thing about cricket, is it's never how it looks on paper. A player could get out 11 for 9, you think they haven't contributed, but somehow they would have contributed, however it might be. Dan Christian doesn't look like he contributed, but essentially he almost helped take Karachi over the line. I want to take you then to outside the game. I think this game, and obviously the PSL as a whole, this year specifically, has been huge, or plays a big role for the rest of the year with the T20 World Cup and the upcoming series between Pakistan and South Africa when they go April, and then maybe when Australia, England come over to Pakistan, because of the amount of players that need to prove a point, essentially. You've got a couple of players who are standing out, Shaheen, standing out, Hafiz standing out, Babar Azam in and out, but he's come from an injury, so I still want to give him time. But he scored the 90 last game. But in this particular game, we won't talk about Sarfaraz in this case, or Hussain Talat, Asif Ali. We'll get onto that if we ever talk about Islamabad again. But Zaman potentially had a big point to prove. He's been in and out of form. He's, again, like I said before, Zaman's one of those players who is more than happy to a strike from the first ball. We've seen it, and he'll go for the ball on the very first ball if it's there for him to hit. You could say that who else had a point to prove? Muhammad Amir potentially had a point to prove with him letting go of his he didn't get picked up in the contract and all that sort of conversation around that. Waqas Maqsood doesn't necessarily have a big point to prove, but if he performs well, he's played for Pakistan before, so maybe if he has a good season, people were mentioning players like Shardul Khan. They want to get him back in the side, but I mentioned that, you know, that's going to throw away the entire fitness regime that Pakistan has worked so hard on since late 2016. And then other players, you could say, actually, that's pretty much it, to be honest. So maybe Haris Ralph as well in the mix there, who has been in and out since South Africa and New Zealand tour. Which players do you think have the biggest point to prove? Which ones do you think are on their way to going back into the green top?
Going back onto the green top, that's an interesting one. Okay, so Shardul Khan and Fakhar Zaman had similar performances today, right? Both batting above 150 striker, both getting 50s, both getting out when they needed to stay at the crease. Okay, those are the 3 points I take away from both of them. Both of them need to prove a point. Pakistan needs another opener with Mohammad Rizwan. It needs to be someone who can bash it. They both can bash it, but they're both unpredictably inconsistent. They're both slightly consistent versions of Shahid Afridi. Okay, that's what both of them are. And that's the reason why you're not sure who to pick. And that's why they need to perform really well this season to even get a glimpse into the Pakistan side. If we talk about Mohammad Amir, he's said it and the PCB said it, unless the management changes, there's no chance him joining, right? So I think we could put him aside. Waqas Maqsood, I don't believe he will, because he's 34, 35, and Pakistan probably will, if they include him in the squad, they're not going to play him. Tabish Khan, perfect example. Let's not even go into that detail. But Mohammad Hafiz, maybe, because of what happened. He didn't get that contract issue, all that stuff. But Hafiz had a point to prove. Okay, not just in this game, but in this PSL for sure. We have certain young players, Arshad Iqbal. We have Mohammad Ilyas, both of them. Arshad Iqbal has had a very good domestic season this year. And he's been in the name of, he's been in the top, 10 wicket takers every tournament. And it's been really nice to see. And I didn't know much about him before this season. So what I've seen, he's developed into a very, very good bowler. Same with Mohammad Ilyas. He's had very good seasons. Mohammad Musa Khan was given a shot before Ilyas for Pakistan. So Ilyas needs to play a bit more. Let's see where he goes in the next few years. And then he might be close to getting a Pakistan top as well. Other players, there's not many batsmen that I can, you know, pick from the list. I'm just looking down the list. Yeah. Imad Wasim. Okay, Imad Wasim. He is not in the... we saw Mohammad Nawaz being picked. We saw all that stuff, right? We saw the dispute between Shadab Khan and Imad Wasim in New Zealand, right? Imad Wasim has not been anywhere close since then in the Pakistan side. Imad Wasim and Muhammad Hafeez, people I think should always be in the Pakistan side, are the only ones in contention to get back into the side. I hope that makes sense, because these guys are good enough. They should be in the side, but because of whatever issues come about, they are not in the side as of this very moment. And if only Muhammad Nabi was Pakistani, then I would have said Muhammad.
Fair enough then. Finishing off then, the last question I want to ask is, well, back to Shajil Khan actually. We've seen the 100 from him. We've seen the big knock today. We've seen another one, 50-plus score. People are saying stuff that he should be back in the Pakistan top. He's 33 years old now. In my opinion, I don't care how many runs he's scored. He can score. He can average 70 this tournament. The fact that he was out of the game, which is something I wouldn't put past him, because Pakistan's done that before. They brought Mohammad Amir back. He's had his time. He hasn't made any effort to improve his fitness. And when he was gone, Mickey Arthur put in that system where he said that you need to reach a level for certain level of fitness. People might not even know that Umar Akmal was one of the players selected in the Champions Trophy. And imagine how that would have turned out. And the fact that he wasn't fit enough meant that he couldn't play. Do you think that PCB might fall and maybe bring Shajil in for a series?
Simple answer is yes. Complicated answer is they will. And then they will play him a match and he gets a duck and then they'll let him go. That's the complex answer. I would like, again, I like Shajil Khan as a batsman, but I understand what you're saying about the fitness and everything. And not the best fielder. Yes, he saved one thing in the boundary, right? But he's not
the
best.
We saw today as well where he was sliding across deep square leg and he got moved mid-off after that.
Yeah, exactly, right? So he'll always be a target for the batsman to say, okay, where is Shajil? Right, I'm going to hit the ball there, okay? So Shajil Khan might be the type of guy who can give you runs, but he might cost you runs in the field. Fakhar Zaman, on the other end, he needs to be as consistent as Shajil Khan, minimum, right? Maybe even two matches more than Shajil Khan. Then I think Fakhar Zaman can get back into the team. Shajil Khan, I think there's a huge power in the PCB that is pushing to Shajil Khan. That huge power loves to say the word Panta, right? So definitely that is going to happen in some way, shape or form, 100%. And I think Shajil Khan, you'll see him in the squad for South Africa. Unsure though, depending on this actual PSL, but I think he is more in contention than Fakhar Zaman right now.
Fair enough. I agree with what you're saying. I think it's because Mickey Arthur's out and he's obviously with Sri Lanka right now, that might push PCB to sort of fall for it and say, we're going to go back to our old ways and bring Shajil back. And I just think personally with the World T20, it's more so disappointing for me because we've seen Pakistan cricket improve so much when Mickey Arthur came in, that period between 2017 and mid-2018 going into 2019 where Pakistan T20 cricket was so strong, and for them to sort of throw it away, where we were getting Imad Wasim was taking 3 wickets in the power play against Australia and New Zealand, and you know, Fakhar Zaman, Babar Azam, Mohammad Hafeez putting up scores at the batting, and it used to be clean whitewashes every single T20 series consecutively. We were like 12 series unbeaten. And for that sort of thrown away, I think that Pakistan will potentially do that. It's going to be a shame if they do, but Zaman, I think, does have the ability to, if he performs the rest of the season, I think we can see him playing in April against South Africa and then the World T20. But it's going to be interesting to see how that all plays out. People, I hope you all enjoyed that episode. This was episode 27 of the Cricket Talks podcast. Please keep streaming my stuff. If you haven't, go and check out the last one. I did the last PSL one. I'm going to try and get them in a bit more often. Check out all the PSL preview episodes and keep pushing us up the rankings. Usher, do you want to quickly plug your socials?
Yeah, sure. So I have a YouTube channel called Cricket For Us 2.0. Please do check me out. But more importantly, just keep watching this channel, right? This channel has a lot of interesting stuff. Thank you for the plug, by the way, right there.
There you go.
So yeah, at All Cricket For Us on Instagram, at All Cricket For Us on Twitter and Facebook, if people still use Facebook. I do, but you know, a lot of people don't. But honestly, I think please subscribe to this channel. And then if you want, and if you like the way I speak, then go over to Cricket For Us 2.0 and subscribe there. And I do live streams like this, but I do watch-alongs with the match, and then I do reviews and stuff, which I'm just going to record after this. And you've helped me a lot, man, honestly, because I've learned a lot from you just during this conversation. So thank you for having me.
No problem. Thank you for coming on. People, I hope you enjoyed this. Please keep streaming. Check out Cricket for Us, their socials. I'm actually going to edit the description after so you guys can go and find the links easier. Make sure you check this one out. It's Cricket Talks on Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts. This YouTube channel is where you'll find all the visuals. And follow me on Twitter, which is MoBlogs_, and you'll find me ranting whenever Lahore does well and not ranting when they don't. So yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. It's episode 27. We'll hopefully get some more in, but I'll see you guys on the next episode of Cricket Talks.